Welcome to the Q3 Results 2010 conference call on the 11th of November 2010. I will now hand the conference over to Yvonne Alexander. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you. Welcome to our Q3 conference call 2010. Today, we'll be discussing our financial results and operational developments. On the call today are Ulrich Dauer, CEO, Bernd Hensch, CDO, Daniel Witz, CSO, and Enno Spillner, CFO. Before the start of the call, I would like to remind you of the following. This conference call may contain projections or estimates relating to plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. I will now hand the call to Ulrich Dauer.
Thank you, Yvonne. Good afternoon and welcome to 4SC's Q3 conference call. In the third quarter and beyond, 4SC has made substantial progress in all of the six ongoing clinical trials, and most importantly, in the development of the two phase II stage compounds, our autoimmune product, vidofludimus, and the oncology compound, resminostat. In September, we provided an update on the enrollment status in the phase IIb component trial with vidofludimus in rheumatoid arthritis, which with patients who do not adequately respond to the first-line treatment with methotrexate. At the time of the announcement, we had recruited 153 patients, which corresponded to 63% of the target patient number. We are very happy with the course of the enrollment since then and expect the preliminary top-line data of this trial in the first half of 2011. With the same compound, we have now completed the phase IIa entrance trial in IBD patients. We reported on the impressive preliminary top-line data of this trial last week, which showed an overall response of 88.5% in steroid-dependent patients. This data obviously underlines the enormous potential of this drug in IBD in both Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis. This is an underserved market, especially in remission maintenance therapy, where vidofludimus has been positioned initially. We were also able to provide initial and we believe promising data for resminostat from both the hepatocellular carcinoma and Hodgkin's lymphoma trials. The lead investigator, Professor Michael Bitzer, presented data from our SHELTER trial in hepatocellular carcinoma patients at the German Gastroenterology and Visceral Surgery Association in Stuttgart in September. In this interim analysis, six out of nine patients staged after 6 weeks and three out of four patients staged after 12 weeks achieved stable disease. For all of those patients, progressive disease after treatment with sorafenib, which is the standard first-line treatment of advanced stages of HCC, has been diagnosed prior to inclusion into the SHELTER trial. Moreover, one patient was treated for 36 weeks with documented stable disease, which is an encouraging result for the use of resminostat in long-term applications in a disease where no second-line medication after sorafenib is available. End of October, we also reported initial data from our SAPPHIRE phase IIa trial with resminostat in Hodgkin's lymphoma. We provided an analysis of the first 18 patients from the first assignment stage of this trial. 10 out of those 18 patients benefited from the treatment with resminostat. Two patients were assessed as partial responders, and a further eight patients with stabilization of their disease. Almost all of those 10 patients showed a diminished metabolic activity of their lesions, with the majority being evaluated as partial metabolic responders. Again, this is encouraging data, giving Hodgkin's lymphoma patients a potential efficacious treatment option after they fail to respond first and second-line chemotherapy. Now, with top-line data for vidofludimus from the entrance trial and with initial data from the SHELTER and SAPPHIRE trial with resminostat, we have at least early indication for efficacy for three out of four of our currently ongoing phase II trials with resminostat and vidofludimus. We believe that with these encouraging results, we have added significant value to our lead compounds and reduced the downside risk in our pipeline substantially. Encouraged by the recent data, We very much look forward to report on the final results for the fire, shelter and component during the course of the next year. With that, I hand it over to Enno for the financial results.
Yes, thank you, Uli, and welcome to the financial part of this conference call. First, some general statements. Once again, numbers do reflect the progress in our preclinical and clinical programs very well. And also, the numbers are in line with our expectations and within budget. In total, all numbers remained rather stable during the first 9 months of 2010, with a slight positive effect for the third quarter. Compared to the two previous quarters in 2010, the Q3 numbers look a little better regarding P&L and cash flows and also show only a moderate increase compared to the same period in 2009. So let me start with a review of the third quarter of 2010. Revenues are down from 0.4 million euros to 0.2 million euros. Operating expenses increased by only 3%. And they are now at 4.9 million euros compared to 4.8 million euros in the third quarter of 2009. Operating loss and loss for the period expanded by 6% from 4.4 million euros to 4.7 million euros or 4.6 million euros respectively. Basic and diluted earnings per share are 20% better than in Q3 2009 despite a higher loss. The reason for that is that due to the capital increase at the end of 2009, we had more shares outstanding since then. The number of employees at the end of the period remains almost unchanged with a headcount of 94 employees. Now, let me give you some insight on our income statement for the first 9 months of 2010, of course being compared to the same period of 2009. Revenues are down from 1.4 million euros to 0.8 million euros, since 4C concentrated its operations and its capacities on its own value-adding development programs and thus did not enforce further research corporations. Operating expenses increased by 20%, now being at 16.1 million euros after 13.4 million euros in 2009. Again, as in the previous quarters and as projected for 2010, its development costs that remain the major cost driver due to the significant expansion of clinical trials ongoing in parallel. Operating loss as a result of that expanded by 28% from 12 million euros to 15.3 million euros, and the loss for the period expanded by 30% from 11.6 million euros to 15.2 million euros in 2010. Basic and diluted earnings per share are 5% better, now being at 0.39 euros per share for the first three quarters of 2010, after 0.41 euros in the same period in 2009. Coming to the balance sheet and cash flows as of September 30th, 2010, equity was down by 29% as expected from 50.9 million euros to 36 million euros. The major reason here is again the loss for the period of 15.2 million euros being also reflected in this position. The same applies also for the balance sheet total, being down by 27% from 53.9 million euros to 39.5 million euros in the comparable season in 2009. However, equity ratio remains high, with 91.9% being only down by 3.3 percentage points compared to the equity ratio for the end of 2009, which was at 94.4%. Liquidity. Cash flows reducing cash reserves mainly come from operating activities and from investing activities. Investing activities in this case mainly means shifting cash reserves from cash and cash equivalents to current and non-current other financial assets. Consequently, cash and cash equivalents amounted to 10.2 million euros. However, and that is important to be kept in mind, total funds available at the end of the third quarter amounted to 22.2 million euros after 35.6 million euros at the end of 2009. The average monthly burn rate for the first 9 months of 2010 amounts to 1.5 million euros compared to 1 million euros in the first 9 months of 2009. Regarding our current development pipeline, we think that an average burn rate of 1.5 million euros still reflects a rather lean setup of 4C in total. So as a wrap-up, all numbers correspond to our plans and our expectations, and 4C remains financially well-positioned to achieve all the next upcoming value-creating milestones. Having said that, I'd like to hand back to Uli Dauer. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Enno. We are now beginning to harvest the results from our hard work over the last 2 years, following the investments made into establishing research and development operations, supported by the intensive work of our team. We are at the beginning of a very eventful and exciting period and look forward to the clinical news flow and value-creating opportunities that stand before us. In early stage programs, for the remainder of this year, we expect results from our phase 1 study with our multi-kinase inhibitor 4SC203, as well as the start of the phase 1 trial with 4SC202, our second HDAC inhibitor. In line with our HDAC development program for resminostat, we are on track to commence SHORE, a phase 1-2 trial with resminostat in KRAS mutant colorectal cancer patients in second line in combination with FOLFIRI chemotherapy regimen. During 2011, we are expecting potential value-creating opportunities from reporting results in the component phase 2b trial with vidofludimus in rheumatoid arthritis, phase 2a data from the SHELTER trial in hepatocellular carcinoma, and phase 2 data from the SAPPHIRE trial with resminostat in Hodgkin's lymphoma. Also, earlier stage, we are also expectant of the phase 1 results from the AEGIS trial with 4SC205, a novel and oral EG5 inhibitor. Clearly, our goal remains to translate our clinical success into commercial value through partnerships and ultimately into shareholder value, and we feel well positioned to achieve this. Again, and on behalf of my colleagues from the management team, I'd like to thank all stakeholders of 4SC for their support in the recent quarter. Actually, this concludes our presentation, and we are now prepared to take your questions. Operator? Operator, we are ready for the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. If any participant would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your telephone. To cancel this request, please press the star followed by the 2. The questions will be polled in the order they are received. There will be a short pause while participants register for a question. Thank you. Our first question comes from Robin Davison from Edison Investment Research. Please go ahead with your question.
All right. Thank you very much. Good afternoon. I'm just wondering what your thinking is in terms of partnering, particularly resminostat at this point, given the financial position of the company, whether it might be more likely that you would look to partner this before the outcomes of the SHELTER and SAPPHIRE studies.
Thank you, Robin. Thank you for being on our call today. We cannot give guidance when exactly we expect partnerships with resminostat. The only statement I can make is that we are in discussions, that we certainly presented the initial data, which we have also published, again, that there are discussions ongoing. However, as to when a deal might materialize, I'm really not in the position to give a more precise guidance.
Right, okay, I assume that was the case. Can I also ask, I realize it's very early on, but have you had a sort of the response you were expecting from potential partners to the results of the entrance study?
Absolutely. As you probably can imagine, there were a lot of eyes looking on the results of this trial, and it's early, as you said, but the initial feedback which we are getting is really very encouraging.
Right. Excellent. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Thomas Schielser from Equities. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you. This is Thomas Schielser from Equities. Two questions, if I may, on the financial side. Enok, are you able to give us a glimpse on the operational cost structure as it comes to the development costs? So what is the most expensive program actually, and what will be in the next year absolute amount of development cost and structure? This is the one question. The next is related to it. Are you planning to increase personnel once more, or are you feeling quite well with the actual number of participants, so to speak, within Forest Sea? Thanks.
Thank you, Thomas. I'll take the first question regarding the structure, and I'll just stick to the answer to the question that we had in some calls before. We do not give details on our development programs, on the individual costs on the programs. However, giving you some perspective as you asked for the time to come, I think development costs all over should be similar to what we have seen in 2010 so far, maybe slightly above, but not significantly, because we keep running quite a program of clinical trials, as Uli just described, and then this will definitely ask for some cost here.
This is Uli Dauer. I'm taking the second question. I mean, as you have seen from the numbers already, we are kind of getting in a kind of steady state situation, and this applies also for the pipeline, and this applies also for the total staff. Now, with these six projects in clinical development, we feel that we have achieved a kind of, you know, critical steady state mark for our pipeline, and this also applies for the number of employees of 4C. So no plans to further increase the team of 4C.
Another question, if I may. Could you give us an update on your cooperations with Virologic and with iCuris?
Okay. This is again Uli Dauer. We are continuing to work together with both companies. We are working on a research project together with iCuris, and the numbers which you have seen on the revenue side, they are mainly associated to this collaboration. The collaboration with Virologic, as you may recall, it's more kind of a licensing type arrangement where we license the antiviral applications of a development compound to Virologic, and we retain the rights to develop this compound in oncology. So I'm not in the position to give you an update on where the antiviral development stands, as you probably can imagine, because this would require the consent of the partner. But this is an ongoing collaboration, certainly.
So, and both collaborations will last until next year, or is there any termination plan?
I can't give any details on the structure of the collaboration without threatening a confidentiality agreement which is in place. I'm sorry for that. But, you know, generally speaking, and I think we made that clear, is we clearly see the major levers for value creation in our own pipeline, in our own development programs, and that's definitely the operational core focus of 4C.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. If you wish to cancel this request, please press the star followed by the two. As a final reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star followed by the one on your telephone. To cancel this, please press the star followed by the two. Thank you. There appear to be no questions at this time. Please continue.
Okay. Thank you again, everybody, for joining our call. I'd like to wish everybody a nice remaining day, and we hope that we can talk to you again on one of our next occasions. Thank you, and bye.
Thank you. This does conclude the Q3 Results 2010 conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.